Now, on Southside, it's time to Rabbit On with Lou Bevin. RabbitUK.com. Lou Bevin, countryside specialist. When it comes to the countryside, he's got it covered. In terms of knowledge, that is. Not concrete, of course. Lou Bevin, brought to you courtesy of Southside.
Now, you may think that, well, you know, not a great deal's happening in the country these days because it's autumn and people have gone their harvesting, all sorted out with the world. You couldn't be more wrong, could you, Lou?
No, it's a busy time.
Indeed, it's Michaelmas time. It's the Michaelmas term and such like stuff that's around from that point of view. Not just for Oxbridge graduates to experience the Michaelmas term as opposed to the Lent term or the Trinity term. Michaelmas actually ties in how, Lou, with the countryside calendar?
Well, it's this transition now between what the good summer has given us. Basically, the way that I look at it is, how can we make use of the bounty that we've got now to tide us through, especially looking at today, it's rather bad here in Doncaster. What we can do with the bounty and the fruit, etc., that we've got here now, it's a bit old-fashioned, but we can make it last us through until next February, March, April, until the spring comes.
Well, you say it's old-fashioned, but maybe it's just old-fashioned becoming new all over again. If we're talking about environmentally friendly scenarios, surely it makes perfect sense, and given that we've spoken extensively with the People's Supermarket founder and coordinator, to actually keep these things going.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually over a pint last night in the pub. We were talking with quite a group of old gentlemen, and I just happened to say, now, wait a minute then, cast your mind back 10 years when you went into your local supermarket, which was starting to have this huge array of vegetables, etc. And I said, right, 10 years ago, who even knew what a courgette was? And of course, all the old boys were nodding. Well, yeah, we looked at them and thought, what? Did I see one of these on one of them Jamie Oliver's or Mr. Whittingstall or somebody's programme? Or packs of peppers, red peppers, green peppers. You know, 10 years ago, they weren't part of the menu. And yet now, every program you turn on, get your courgettes. And I mean, they're so easy to grow. I mean, they're just a joke. A neighbour of mine actually planted a packet of seeds. And the poor soddy, I mean, he grew and he left them growing and they grew into marrows because there's just no way. You just want one or two plants in your garden and that keeps you going for the year. But yeah, everything's changing.
And you mentioned a couple of chefs there. We have to mention our very own Southsiders, Jean-Christophe Novelli, of course, and Arthur Darville. Arthur, of course, is putting out a wonderful challenge for all farmers who are thinking of actually getting rid of some of their waste material. He will get up a team of volunteers from the People's Supermarket and come and collect all the waste material for you. This is actually on a thing we talked about back on our sister service, Siren FM, back on Wednesday. It'll be on our podcast site as well very shortly. So it's nice to see that, you know, there is a line in this, and I think the ethical notions of People's Supermarket, although they're based in London, they're looking to roll this out, could be quite an interesting line from that point of view.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was watching a new food programme, I think it's on a Thursday night on Channel 4, and the programme was coming from an orchard, and it was, the fruit was first class, but unfortunately, some was too small, some fruit was too big, some fruit had slight marks on the skin.
Oh dear.
And as such, you know, this just could not be marketed by the big boys. This fruit is just as good, just as wholesome, just as nice. In fact, if you've got three kids, wouldn't it be far better to have three small apples to the pound rather than having two normal apples? What happens to the third kid? I mean, everything's got a use, and it's just a case of being sensible, looking at it and using it accordingly.
Let's talk to a young man now who is so plugged into the environmental message that when offered a plastic cup for his bottle of water this very day, he said, no, I'm doing my bit for the environment. I'll just take it straight from the bottle. Simon Marshall.
That's me. What can I say?
There you go. Questions for Lou, please.
Well, we've already talked a little bit about how we can use this summer surplus. Are there any tips you could give for some of our listeners, Lou?
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems, actually, is there's so much out there. The missing link for the modern person appears to be the recipes, etc. I mean, I went for my newspaper early this morning and I thought, as I go down the hill, I'll just look to my left. I know a really good spot where there's a lot of blackthorns, which, of course, produce the sloe berries.
Yeah, we just actually picked some sloes yesterday to make some sloe gin ready for Christmas.
Right, well, lo and behold, a bounder had parked his vehicle there this morning, and I saw him returning with two bursting carrier bags to his van.
Yeah, well, maybe he's doing the same thing.
Yes, but
sloe gin.
This is my badge. I've been there for 10 years.
Oh, dear, I can see tension there's no doubt.
More people are trying. It's very, very easy. A litre of your liquor, whether it be gin, vodka, or whatever's on sale, that's £6.50 a litre. A kilo of sugar. And a kilo of your chosen fruit. And actually, this year, we had a surplus of cherries. So a friend of mine has done a cherry vodka. And looking at the cherries, actually, there's more flesh per cherry than there is on a blackthorn, on a sloe, so I would imagine that we could have a really full-bodied drink as a result of trying it.
Of course, non-alcoholic options are clearly available, which you can go into for those folk who say...
Yeah, you just mentioned it, water out of a bottle.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah, got your bit in first, OK.
Very true. Leicester Piggott has been celebrating, or there's been a celebration of Leicester Piggott. Why, Lou?
Why? Mm. The genius of the man. You are listening to an old man here. Here's my claim to fame. 3 years to the day before I was born. Let's go back. That was the 18th of August, 1948. 3 years to the day. The genius that is Leicester wrote his first winner. 46 years later, at the same track, being Haydock Park, he wrote his final winner. Mm. Tell me any sporting event where a world champion can claim titles 46 years apart.
Simon, from the golf perspective?
Golf is possibly the only one you could do that, yeah, but even then it's incredibly rare to do it at the top level, so yeah.
Yeah. And remembering now that, of course, when you get past sort of 45 or 50 in the golf, there are the senior ranking tournaments which are paying phenomenal prize money. And it's great to see the elder statesman of the game out on the tour, there's no doubt about it, but when you consider that Leicester was plying his trade against the hungry young men of the game from the beginning right through to the end, it's a phenomenal record.
Just can't quite see Jack Nicklaus effectively riding major horses to victory in Class 1 races somehow. Interesting.
No, but you talk about Stanley Matthews and some of the great players who were playing into their twilight years.
49 he was, Stanley Matthews, when he was still playing. Hmm.
So, not quite as old as Leicester, but... yeah, he was commemorated last Saturday at Haydock Park for his achievements. It's, of course, he's about 76 years old on Bonfire Night.
Mm-hmm. Strange. Same date of birth, I think, as one of our librarian staff as well, really, is there? I might be wrong. Well, perhaps it's a couple of days after. And, of course, as you said, Guy Fawkes celebration, etc. So, Lou, any particular tips or thoughts you've had? We talked about, clearly, going out gathering berries, gathering bushels of material and so on. Are there any sort of thoughts you'd like to add in terms of what people should be doing with their gardens, their lands, their food sources? I mean, we can go off for hours, but you've got 30 seconds anyway.
Well, if the land is anything like mine today, keep off it is the answer. It's horrible. It's wet, it's cold, it's a northeast wind. I look forward to see how the golfers are going on, if this weather is anything like it down in Wales where the Ryder Cup's taking place. Those soft Americans won't like it, will they?
This is good for Team Europe.
Where do you sit on that, Simon?
Because won't like it.
You did your undergraduate studies, obviously, at the University of Belmont, where the Ryder Cup was taking place there. Do you consider yourself European, or do you have a soft spot for the Americans? Where do we go here?
There is no soft spot for the Americans, I promise you. The first year I was there, we won the Ryder Cup, And in the third year I was there, the Americans won the Ryder Cup. So I got to give them some good stick while I was there, and they got to return the favour as well.
Well, there we are. Tension is clearly mounting in all manner of ways, really, and we'll definitely have reflections on that whole process. The rabbits. Obviously, the jingle and the promo launches clearly with Lou Rabbit. Are the rabbits stepping to one side, Lou, or are you still actively involved with them? Are you still there in terms of an advisory consultancy capacity whilst you've moved into pigeons and other material? What's the state of play?
Yeah. No, I'm still... I am without rabbits, per se, on the ranch at the moment. I'm building new cages for a dabble into the breeding of the Harlequin, which is the unusual rabbit named after the Harlequin model, i.e. sections of different colours in different parts of the body. I'm sourcing breeding stock as we speak in Holland and Belgium. So I'll probably have a trip over in January to the Utrecht show and hope to collect some stock then. But no, at the moment, the pigeons are taking up most of the time, and a construction of a new racing shed for the birds, it's proving a bit bigger than I thought.
Well, I think it's fair to say both our chef from Vista Bar Restaurant in Saltburn, Aaron Craig, and hopefully Simon as well, coming from Beedle, we really need to visit Bevin Towers once again and do a little heads up in terms of what's happening there. So hopefully we'll connect with you, I don't know, maybe sometime early November-ish. What do you think?
No problem.
Last two questions for Lou Bevin, please, Simon.
Have you had an enjoyable conversation with us today, Lou?
As always, sir, as always.
And can we look forward to speaking with you again soon?
Of course.